Welcome to the New Generation Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Whether you're a regular or a first-time listener, we hope today's message fills you with hope and inspiration. NGC is a place where people can come together to grow in their faith, learn from one another, and support each other through life's challenges by living out the Word of God. We believe in sharing the love of Jesus in everything we do, and we're excited to bring that love to you through our podcast. Let's dive into today's message. We hope you enjoy.
To be with you today. Listen, I want to get right into the scripture this morning. We're going to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. If you turn there with me, I won't keep you standing too much longer, but you got to remember, they stood all day. You read that book of Nehemiah, the Bible says they found the book and they stood all day. Amen. So we'll lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of you, some of those who are here standing here, who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his glory. Continuing in our series, Don't Hold Out, Live Sold Out. This morning, I want to talk with you about the biggest problem. The biggest problem. Take a seat as you give your neighbor a fist pound and say, the biggest problem. The biggest problem. Hallelujah. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, thy rock and thy redeemer. If all of us here today were to line up and we were to come in front of the church and we were to ask the media team in the balcony up there to take our photo, and then we were to tell everyone, after we dismiss from our service today, we're going to enlarge this photograph that we've taken to the size of a wall, and we're going to hang it up outside of our sanctuary. And after we dismiss, you can go out and get smaller versions of that picture that you can take home with you. The very first thing that all of us would do when we look at this big photo on the wall is we would first try to find ourselves. We wouldn't be concerned about anybody else. We would want to know how we look on the picture. Can I get a witness? Am I in the right place this morning? All right. It's something about self. Now, we're going to talk about a subject that many of us like to hear about today, and that's you. Everybody likes to talk about themselves. And what we have to begin to learn as we desire to all grow closer to Jesus, as we all desire or should desire to grow in the knowledge of wisdom of who he is, to become more like Jesus, we have to deal with this person called self. I'll tell you right up front, and you'll hear me say it all throughout our message today, is the biggest problem is not realizing that you're the biggest problem. Now, I'm glad I'm not running for political office, because I'm not looking for the approval of people this morning. And even if I was running for political office, my mind is fixed and my heart is made up. Gotta go with Jesus. What I love about ministering the message of God is that I go to surgery first. And as I was in surgery, even this week, as I prepared this message, God began to peel back some things. And I said, Lord, I got to change the message then. I can't. He said, no, you need to let them know what surgery you've been through. Every week presents a new opportunity to go hard for Jesus. And there's some weeks that are better than others. There's some weeks where your assignment was clear and you were on fire and you accomplished what God told you to accomplish. But there are other weeks where you just changed the station. And you knew it was God's assignment, but you said, nah, God, I'm going to remix your instruction. And the problem was not with God. It wasn't with the assignment. The problem was you. You see, the biggest problem is not realizing that you're the biggest problem. It's not pornography. It's not that you have to gossip all the time. You write it off on that, but it's not idolatry. But the biggest problem is not realizing that you're the biggest problem. In Matthew 16, we find Jesus, he's making his track to Jerusalem. And we'll review last week for those of you who were not here last week. We'll get there in a minute. But Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem, and he went through this area called Caesarea Philippi. And in Matthew 16, we find that along with his disciples overlooking the beautiful land, he began to ask one simple question. He says, who do men say that I am? Well, Jesus, some say that you are John the Baptist. Now, at that time, John the Baptist had been beheaded. He was dead. They believed in reincarnation, that he had come back. Some say that you're Elijah or one of the prophets. And all those were answers that other people were saying. Then Jesus began to direct his attention to his disciples, and he simply asked them, who do you say that I am? And out of all those disciples who were present, old Peter, man, Peter always had to say something. Peter opened his mouth, and he was right on this one. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at Simon and says, Simon Bar-Jona, you have answered correctly. But my Father who is in heaven has given you this revelation. And then Jesus went on and he talked about how he, in Matthew 16, how he would build the church. And he says, upon this rock, speaking of himself, the big rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16. And then if we come down a little bit, Jesus begins to talk about, in fact, let's go there quickly. I don't want you to take my word for it. We're going to get into the biggest problem here in a minute. But in Matthew 16, after that confession, Jesus begins to foretell his death. He begins to talk about how he's going to die. In fact, in verse 21, he says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. But Peter always had to say something. Peter looked at Jesus and he said, be far from it, you Lord. These things are not going to happen to you, Lord. And then Jesus responded, get behind thee, Satan. Now, wait a minute. Peter just got the revelation from heaven that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in the next sentence, he's telling Jesus what he's not going to do. And Satan had to rebuke Satan. He said, get behind me, for you are a stumbling block. And you're setting your interest on the things of man and not of God. See, when the biggest problem is us, we can tend to lean to things that are man-centric and not God-centric. We can tend to lean to our counsel, our advice, our life, to things that will hold out God's purposes and not cause us to live sold out. I want to help you this morning because God wants you and me to live a sold out life. Somebody say sold out. Now, last week we talked about how Jesus was determined to go to Jerusalem. He was determined to go to Jerusalem. He was going to finish the course and the work that was set before him. And you remember that we said he was determined to finish the race and to finish the work even to the cross. And we thank God that he went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross and gave his life for us. Somebody say determined. He was determined. He was sold out to do whatever it took so that we could experience life and life more abundantly here on earth. So when we talked about that word determined, you remember we said that it meant to turn resolutely. We remember it. We said that it was a certain direction, to place firmly, to set a fix, or to strengthen, to make firm, to render constant. Our minds are made up when we're determined. Are you determined this morning to follow Jesus? We said that this being sold out, it introduces us to three things. And we said when we're sold out, number one, we said that Jesus, it means that we're completely surrendered to him. We have wholehearted surrender. We're wholeheartedly surrendered to him. The second thing that we said is that when we're sold out to Jesus, it means that we're making him a priority. We're making him a priority. Somebody say a priority. He's first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you, Matthew 6:33. And then we said, remember we said that to be sold out for Jesus, it means avoiding procrastination. It means avoiding that I'm going to get to it when I can get to it. Nope, if Jesus has spoken, we have to move because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Jesus said, this day I want you to follow me. Well, we can't keep putting it off and keep telling Jesus that I'm just going to wait until I get. Anybody ever been there before? I'm just going to wait till I get straight. You'll never get straight without Jesus. You're going to be waiting a long time. You have to surrender your life to Jesus. But the biggest problem is not realizing that you are the biggest problem. Now watch this. Now, let me say this right now, because some of y'all, what about you? I'm talking about me too. Okay? So when I use you, I'm included in the you. All right? The biggest problem is not realizing that you're the biggest problem. And Jesus, he goes on to explain what this means more definitively. Now find yourself in this today. Notice in verse 24 what he says. He says, then Jesus said to his disciples, he's talking to his disciples. And remember that disciples, a simple definition of a disciple is one who learns or one who follows. When we talk about disciple, it simply means learner. That's what it means. And he's with his disciples and he says to them, he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. He must deny himself. Now, I love the invitation. He says, if anyone, that means that anybody who wants to be my disciple, anybody black, anybody white, anybody poor, anybody rich, anybody a U.S. citizen, anybody in China, anybody who wants to follow me, anybody who wants to be my disciple, the very first thing that we must do is to deny ourselves. Somebody's saying, well, I got to deny myself because that's the biggest problem. Self wants to see what they look like. We're in a society now where we are taking way too many selfies. They got a selfie stick. where you hold it out and you take a picture of yourself. Where we come to, people. Now don't get it twisted. You are beautiful and you're wonderfully made and God loves you. But when you start loving you more than you love others, and you park there, you're not operating in what Jesus is talking about here. He says, if you want to follow me, the very first thing I need you to do is to deny yourself. See, people, when we are completely sold out for Jesus, we are now in a position to be a disciple. When you're completely sold out. Now, what does it mean to be sold out? I'm glad you asked. A sold out disciple, here's a good definition. A sold out disciple is a person who is completely surrendered. They completely surrendered their desires, their time, and their resources to follow Jesus without holding back anything. Lord, that's mine. Well, wait a minute. Is it mine and I'm allowing you to steward it while you're on the earth? Lord, those are my kids. And the Lord is saying, okay, if they're your kids, then you're going to have to provide for them. And I don't know who's going to provide. I don't know where you're going to get the provision from to provide for them. You're going to have to pray for them, but I don't know who you're going to pray to if they're your kids. Lord, this is my job. Okay. When they give you that pink slip, that's your job. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? I'm talking about being so encapsulated with things that we don't recognize come from our Heavenly Father. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, the Father of lights. God has given us everything. And it's easy to live outside of self when you begin to recognize that, man, God has entrusted me with this car. God, thank you for four wheels. That way somebody, and I praise God even this week, man, that ain't my car. Somebody said that to me. Here go the keys right here. Somebody got the revelation of whose car it really is. They got to get their own car. They ain't driving my car. Wait a minute, they just need a ride. You ain't even, all right, let me keep it moving. Find yourself in that now. But when you're sold out, you're a disciple who you've completely surrendered. You're Lord of everything. You're Lord of my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You're the Lord of it all. You're the Lord of my rest. And this is the problem. Many of us, we have received the salvation of Jesus, but we haven't received the lordship of Jesus. And we're on our way to heaven, but we go in there kicking and fussing, not bowing down to anything he's told us to do in the earth. He wants to make an exchange today. He wants you to deny self. Somebody say, deny self. Deny self. You got to deny self. So here's just three questions. Three questions this morning. The first question is this. What is the prerequisite to living a sold out life for Jesus? What is the prerequisite for living a sold out life to Jesus? For my college students, y'all know this. When you go to college, you have to take some prereqs. In other words, you can't come to college and say, hey, I want to begin in the 400 classes. I'm an engineer. Bring on the top class. I want to take it. And them professors looking at you like you're crazy. I say, hey, before you can even take the 400 classes, you need to take the 100 classes. You're trying to take the 400. And many of us, even in the kingdom, amen, we want to come in and we want to be elevated, but we haven't even denied self. And God says, I can't give you nothing because you're going to take it and think that you did it and you're going to try to get people to glorify you when it's all about me. So we got to deny it, the prerequisite of living a sold out life. He says in the scripture, he says, you must deny yourself. What does it mean to deny? I'm glad you asked. The word deny, watch this. It means to affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with someone. It means that you have no acquaintance, that you have no connection with someone. When you deny someone, that means that I don't know him. I don't want to know him. I never knew him. Okay? Now, you got to be careful with this word deny, because we can deny some things that can get in the way. There's such a thing as called self-denial. And self-denial is good, because if we don't self-deny ourselves, we'll find ourselves giving in to self. All right? So self-denial, watch this. It's not an event, but it's a lifestyle. That's why you can't, watch this. You can't give your life to Jesus one day and expect that that's it. You got to die daily to the flesh, because the flesh is wanting to pull you back from that which you're coming out of. And you got to wake up every morning and you got to say, nope, today you're dying so that I can begin to live for Jesus. You got to deny your flesh. And it's not an event. It's not a lifestyle. I love the altar call. We should all be applauding when people come and they surrender their life to Jesus, but that's the beginning. And we celebrate just as the angels in heaven do, but there's a perpetual lifestyle of denying. Am I in the right place today? Have you ever woke up with something on your mind and say, no, flesh, you ain't going there today? I don't know where that came from. No, that's been buried and dead. You ain't finna raise. And see, it's really tested, man, when somebody's in front of you and the Lord's been working on your mouth and he got you straight, man, and here come the test. Here comes somebody rolling their eyes at you, saying all kind of words at you, and you got to say, deny self, deny self, deny self. And they come to you and say, every time I come to you, you're talking about deny. Yeah, I sure am. Deny self, deny self, deny self. Because self is something else. Self is something else. When we enter into self-denial, we got to understand that it's not God robbing you of your pleasures, but it's God rescuing you from slavery. God, I'm not going to be able to do this. God says, I'm trying to save you from that. I'm trying to deliver you from that, because what you're so desiring is going to enslave you and take you further away from me than you ever needed to be from me. You see, the thing about sin is sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. And it's dressed up so beautifully where you think that, man, ain't nothing better than this. I just got to stay in this. And God says, wait a minute, there's something better. But the first thing you got to do is deny self. Isn't it amazing how we can look at other people and point out their sin so easily? Well, what they need to be doing. What about you? You've been saved 2 weeks and now you're getting on other people about what they're not doing. God pulled you out of the miry mercury clay. You were out there doing all kind of damnable things in front of the Lord, and now you think you all that, and all you need to do is tell them the same thing the Lord told you, to deny self. Trying to help somebody this morning, because I know we looking good this morning, we're cute, but God has called the church to go out and to integrate with this world to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. See, the church, okay, Lord, I hear you. My goodness, watch this now. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. If you're in the church, you don't need no salt. He says, you are the salt of the earth. We got to go out and put some salt in the earth. But the problem is many of us are in our salt shaker and we don't want to come out. Because we're looking good in our salt shaker. Ain't nobody got a salt shaker like me. Let me keep it moving. But you gotta understand that, of course, the Lord desires for you to have good things in the earth, but you gotta understand that no good thing, unless it comes from God, I don't want it. I don't want it, man. Let me tell my single brothers. I hear you, Lord. My single brothers, if you're looking for a good thing, let the Lord show you where she is. Self-denial. Self-denial. It's not an occasional sacrifice. It's a total surrender. I ain't talking about an occasional sacrifice. Oh, I was tired, but I woke up and went to church this morning. Whoop-de-doo, praise the Lord. All right, that's good. I'm glad you did that. An occasional sacrifice. God is looking for you to be a total sacrifice. Paul said this to the Romans. He said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, that's an interesting term. Now, sacrifices in the temple, they were never living. When you brought a sacrifice, the whole purpose of that sacrifice was to be killed so that it could be offered. But here, Paul says, when you come to the Lord, you need to present even your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. See, there's the difference right there. A living sacrifice who is surrendered to God, they're going to do the things of God. But the only way you can do the things of God is by denying self. See, the biggest problem is not realizing that you are the biggest problem. Now I want to walk with you, because when we talk about denying self, it means giving up everything. Hebrews chapter 11, watch this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, because we learn all throughout that particular passage of scripture in Hebrews 11, we learned about many people. There are many examples. The Hall of Faith is called. Many people who gave up everything to follow the Lord. Not perfect people, but they understood that following the Lord was more precious and more valuable than anything that life could offer. So here we find Moses. Watch this now. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 24, the Bible says this. It says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering, watch this, the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Oh, man. Moses was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Moses, the edict went out by the Pharaoh to kill all males. You remember this in Egypt. And they say, we want all males, as soon as they're born, go ahead and kill them, because I'm in charge here. It's all about me. See, that's what self does. Self will elevate you where you think you are better than even other people. And self was in an office where he could call the shots. And he called the shots by saying, all males, I want them executed. But see, God has his people everywhere. This is why you got to understand that as a child of God, as a disciple of Jesus, you're not only a disciple on Sundays, but you're a disciple every day of your life. Wherever you go, I don't care what your title, your employment says, but you need to always put in front of whatever your employment is that I'm a Christ-sent. I'm a Christ-sent teacher. I'm a Christ-sent nurse. I'm a Christ-sent whatever that driver. Whatever it is, God has you where he has you. And God had these women who were delivering babies, and it was two of them, and they came and said, wait a minute, some of these males are still living. What's going on? And they said, they're just coming out too fast. God had them to protect the lives of those babies. And they were protecting the life of those babies, and one of those babies was a baby by the name of Moses. And Jehochabed, his mother, and his father, they took Moses and they said, man, they're killing babies. We're going to trust God. Because we recognize that God has given us this child. And God can do more with this child than we could ever do. So we're going to release him into the hands of our almighty God. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You're holding on too tight, because you're making it all about self, and God said, give them to me and watch what I do with them. God takes baby Moses, places him in a wicker basket, sends him down the crocodile-infested Nile River, and Miriam, his sister, watching the whole time. But he ends up right in the hands of the daughter of the Pharaoh, who said he wanted all males to be killed. I'm telling you, man, when you're a disciple of Jesus, even though you're a citizen of the United States, you recognize that I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God first. So whatever goes on in the U.S., it first got to go through the hands of the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So you can rejoice, man. That's what we're supposed to do as believers. I'm not going to let a governmental system cause me not to rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice in the Lord. Pharaoh's daughter, this is one of the Hebrew babies. Takes him out of the basket. We got to find somebody to take care of him. Old Miriam right there. Did I hear you got a job application open and you're looking for somebody to be a nanny for this baby? I got the one for you. And does it come with benefits too? They can live in the palace and get paid by the Egyptians and raise this child up. Went back and got the mama and brought her back and raised Moses up in Egyptian culture, y'all. This is your Bible. This is what God is still doing even today. God is greater. He is greater, man. He is greater. He is greater. You got to have him in the place. Oh, raise that baby up in Egyptian culture. And I'm not preaching on Moses today, but Moses got to the point where he recognized that something was different about him. See, God will allow, he will allow what we might consider strange situations to occur, but it ain't strange to God. And Moses had a righteous, he had an anger about himself where when he saw one of his fellow brothers mistreated, he got up himself. And self said, I'm gonna kill the man. And then he was eventually found out. See, God will bring us, watch this now, he'll bring us all to a place where we recognize that it's bigger than self. It ain't all about you. Get out the salt shaker. It's not all about you. It's all about Jesus. But Moses was raised up in Egyptian culture, and he came to a place, and this is what the scripture says, because it was by faith. When he had grown up, he refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter. He recognized that I got to make an exchange. I'm no longer Pharaoh's daughter. No, I recognize the reward that awaits me. I recognize that I am a prophet, but there's one who's coming after me. Deuteronomy 18, 18, there's a prophet who comes greater after me who is the real prophet. He understood what he was dealing with. But you can't do that unless self gets out the way. Somebody say, self, get out the way. Now walk with me. I'm just, this is threshing this morning. Amen. Just threshing. Go to Matthew 26. I'm talking about denial. You got to deny, man. And I'm all about it, as you are too. We thank God for his blessings, and we're going to continue to thank him, and we're going to praise, and we're going to celebrate. But sometimes you got to be careful, because you can have all the persona of a Christian, but inside of you is nothing that represents who you are on the outside. We got the language. We got the formula. Church every Sunday, hands raised, and all that's good. But what's going on the inside? Is self still alive? Watch this now. In verse 69 of Matthew 26, because that word deny, he's asking us to deny ourselves. And all of us have been in situations where, unfortunately, we did not deny ourselves. In a situation this week, I missed it. God said, right now, right here, pray. And I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And Satan was nowhere to be found. That was the Lord. And I walked away from a situation. But the Lord, watch this now, he knew my heart. And he allowed me to reconnect with the opportunity that I missed. So guess what's going to happen next time? Yeah. Yep. Now find yourself in that. Now that doesn't happen all the time where you have another opportunity, but I'm not going to let the enemy beat me up about it. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Nope. I'm going to get it next time. Trust me. Watch this now. This is Peter. Watch this. I'm talking about denying, because Moses had to deny his lifestyle. He says, I'm no longer Pharaoh's daughter. I belong to God. Verse 69 says of Matthew 26, now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. This is the Lord Jesus after he had been handed over by the high priest to be crucified. He's now entering into the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, you too were with Jesus, the Galilean. But he denied it. The same word, deny, deny yourself. That's the same word. He denied it before all them, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. And this is what Peter said. Let me just stop there. This is what Peter said. Peter said, I don't even know him. I don't even know who he is. You talk like him. I'm sure you were with him. I don't know the man. He denied him. Now, before you so quick to go off on Peter, have you ever denied Jesus? Have you ever gone to lunch with a group of friends and you say, I know they don't pray, so I'm not going to pray? Has the Holy Spirit ever given you a motivation to minister a word to somebody, but because of the way they looked, you didn't minister to them? That's denying Jesus. Somebody ever asked you, can you tell me about your relationship with Jesus? Watch this now. And you talk more about your church membership than you did about the discipleship of going with Jesus. Let me keep it moving. God told me it's going to be crickets today, and that's okay. That's okay. But y'all know the rooster crowed and it awakened Peter to the realization of what Jesus said. He says, you know, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me, Peter. You're going to deny me three times. Lord, I'll never deny you. All these other people, they will do it, but I will not deny you. The reason he denied Jesus is because he was too alive. Self was in the way. Anytime self is in the way, you are going to miss God. You're going to miss God. Write this quote down. You will never glory in God. You will never glory in God till, first of all, God has killed your glorifying in you. Let me say it again, and it'll be on your screens. You will never, watch this. You will never glory in God till, first of all, God has killed your glorifying in yourself. It's not about me and you, people. It's always going to be about Jesus. You have to deny yourself. Many years ago, and many of y'all have told me, and the reason this is so dear to my heart and maybe why I talk about it often is because I paid for what I'm about to tell y'all took place, bringing up memories as I even think about it. I bought a brand new car in 1992. Shiny red, man, you couldn't tell me nothing. Couldn't tell me anything. My car. And I thought it was my car until I got ready to sell it. And it wasn't behaving right. It was, you know, had some hiccups. And one of the things when you sell a vehicle, you have to not only give up the car, but you also have to give up the title. So when you give up the title, that means that wherever you see that car again, even though it used to be your car, it's not your car anymore. And the car had a few challenges, and I remember to this day, man, I pulled into one of the local restaurants, and I said, that's my car. I didn't have the keys. I didn't have anything, but I recognized that that was my car, and it was looking good, man. I said, man, I want my car back, man. They had it running. Dude drove off, sped off. I was like, my car couldn't go that fast. But it was my car. But you know what? It wasn't my car because I didn't have the title. The title belonged to the owner. My question for you is, who's got your title? If your title belongs to the devil, then that explains why things might be going on the way they need to be going on. But if you have surrendered your life and given your title to the Lord, then everything you have, everything you are, belongs to him. Paul said it beautifully. He says, don't you know that you are of the Holy Spirit? You are of him. You belong to God. So he has to have the title to your life, because when he does, that's the first step of you denying yourself. The second thing, the second question, I told y'all there are three questions. The second question is this. Here it is. Am I willing, watch this question, am I willing to let go of my old self? Am I willing to let go of my old self? Be crucified. My pride, sin, my self-centeredness, my ambitions, my ego, so that the life of Christ may rise in me. I love the worship music this morning, the worship songs that we were birthing to the Lord, and we were talking about getting rid of names so that Jesus could take his place. And sometimes when we think about names, we're thinking about Buddha, Confucius, we're thinking about Sun Myung Moon, we're thinking about all those other things, but the first name you need to remove is yours. We think about everybody else, but the first name you need to do, first thing you need to do is to remove your name out of the equation. Because we can get in the way of what God has for us that is best for us. So Jesus says, deny yourself, and the next thing I want you to do is to take up your cross. Galatians 2 and 20, Paul says, watch this, notice the tense. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Isn't that beautiful? Paul says, you know what? I'm dead. I'm dead to Christ. When we talk about, when Jesus said, I want you to take up your cross, we don't, let me clarify this. Taking up your cross is not when your wife gets on your nerves and you think you got to go through something. That ain't no cross. All right. Or your husband. All right. Let me tell you both ways. All right. Taking up your cross is when, not when somebody talks bad about you. Not talking about that. If we were to fast, if we were to go back in time to that first century, when this verse was read, it brought fear upon the people. Today, it would sound like, instead of the cross, it would say, take up your gas chamber. Take up your electric chair. Take up your lethal injection. It dealt with death. It dealt with death. And Jesus, his instruction here, he says, I want you to take up your cross. Wait a minute, Jesus, you want me to do what now? He says, yeah, this is a one-way journey. See, the Roman crucifixion system in those days, when the person who was being crucified was judged, the very first thing they had to do after they were judged, they had to pick up their own cross. It was a one-way journey. It wasn't that, okay, I'm going to pick up my cross, I'm going to go to the place, and then I'm going to turn around and go back where I came from. No, it was a total surrender. It was that I'm giving it all up. I'm going with Jesus. And see, when you take up your cross, you got to understand that the stuff that you, the flesh wants to go back to, you can't go back to that anymore. You made your heart is fixed, your mind is made up. You're sold out that I'm carrying the cross, Lord, and wherever it takes me, I'm going in representation of you. See, this is the gospel message. That's why Jesus said they're going to be, there's a broad way that leads to destruction, and then there's a narrow path, and only a few will find it. The gospel message, man. He says, carry the cross. Take up the cross. And when we take the cross, we got to recognize that we got to begin to ask the question, am I dead or alive? Because a dead person can't do the things that they want to do. A dead man is not tempted to sin. Not tempted to sin. When you take up your cross, it means these three things. A person who is crucified, they're facing only one way. When you're crucified with Christ, there's only one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. The second thing, you begin to make up in your mind that I'm not going back. Anybody, you made up in your mind that I'm not going back, Lord. I'm not going back. And see, this is the power of the gospel message of Jesus Christ, is that, guess what? You don't have to go back. Don't patty cake them. Go ahead and give them a praise if you believe that here today, that you don't have to go back. We ain't got to go back to the things we came out of. And thank God we live long enough to get out of it. Not going back, man. Going forward in him. So you, when you take up that cross, when you're crucified, you're facing only one way. When you're crucified with Christ, you recognize that I'm not going back. And here it is. Watch this. When you're crucified with Christ, there are no further plans of your own. Every plan, every step, every decision, every friendship, every decision that I make, Lord, is going to come by way of you. And see, when you yield your will in total submission to his will, he begins to order your steps. And then you can begin to quote that verse and really mean it, man. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in my way. Is the Lord ordering your steps this morning, people of God? When you take up your cross, he's going to order your steps. But Lord, this situation is tough. He says, I know it's tough. I know that you're still going to have struggle, that you're still going to have battles. You're still going to be in war against Satan, even until I come back. But you got to understand, the powers of darkness will never overshadow the power of the kingdom. Will never overshadow the power of the kingdom. Recognize whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing, is that you made a commitment to follow me, and I'm going to make sure you get to where you say you're going to go. You're going to suffer hatred. You're going to suffer ridicule. You're going to suffer all kinds of things in this world. But remember the commitment you made to deny self and take up your cross. You see, when you deny self and you take up your cross, that cross, man, it can be heavy at times. It can be lonely at times. But Jesus, he says this in verse 25. He says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's what we call the paradox of discipleship. It's a paradox. What do you mean that if I lose my life, I will find it? What does this mean? A paradox is simply, it's a statement or it's a situation that appears to be self-contradictory. It seems silly, but actually reveals a deeper underlying truth. Some of the things we've heard that are a paradox statement, less is more. We've heard that statement before. Or even in the Bible, you heard when I'm weak, I'm what? I'm strong. All right, that's a paradox statement, but it's a true statement because we become the strongest is when we yield our will and submission to the will of God. And then we find power from on high that we never knew even existed because we had been carrying. See, this is what it is. When you don't deny yourself, you walk around with 100-pound weights and you find something wrong with everything and everybody. And you're walking around disgusted and you're looking at everybody. I don't know why. And God is saying, just put down the weight. He says, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. Somebody need to put down the weight today. You've been walking around and carrying it. And God says, I need you to deny yourself. You can't carry that. You weren't built to carry that. Somebody say, let it go. Let it go. Less is more. When I'm weak, I'm strong. See, a seed looks dead when buried, but the process creates new life. Jesus said, except a seed fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But when it dies, it produces much fruit. My question to you today, are you dead or alive? Are you too alive to the fact where even the Lord, through the power of his Holy Spirit, cannot use you because you think it's all about self? And you're saying the right things, you're using the right language, but God is saying, depart from me, I never knew you. You know, those are the worst words you will ever hear. I pray nobody in this church hears these words. But Jesus said, they went to Jesus, they said, Jesus, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do many powerful works in your name? He said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You were caught up in self. You thought you were doing it for you, but you weren't doing it for me. Find yourself in that now. But a seed, it looks dead until it's buried. Until it's buried. The third and last thing I'm going to leave you with is this. The third question. Here's my question to you, because the biggest problem is not realizing that we're the biggest problem. Will you lay down self to gain Christ? Or will you cling to self and lose everything that truly matters? That's a question only you can answer. Will you lay down self to gain Christ? Or will you cling to self and lose everything that truly matters? Notice what he says here in verse 26. He says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? He's saying, is life worth that much where it's more important of what you get now than what you're going to get later? Is life all about riches? And God here, he's not opposed to you profiting, but he is opposed to you allowing profit to get in the way of him. See, that's where people get twisted sometimes. No, God, he's come to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. He's not a slave master, but he wants to deliver you from the things so that you can enjoy life in him. See, I want to enjoy it in him, not in my own self or not in anybody else. But when you're enjoying it in him, man, you got a liberty and freedom where you can begin to live. You can live in him, man. His commandments are not grievous to us because we're joyful about honoring him and keeping what he's given us to carry out. You get joy about that, man. The world, they don't understand it. They want to ridicule and they want to mock us. And they're doing it, right? We see people, we see comedians, we see all other kind of people mocking the church. But man, I don't want to stand before the Lord after having mocked his people. Amen. Now, I'm on the other side, God. I'm on the side encouraging the people to continue to move forward in the things of God. But he says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul? Now, Jesus, remember, he was tempted here. Put this in your margin. In Matthew 4, the devil tempted him. And notice how he defeated the enemy in verse 8 of Matthew 4. Put it in your margin. The Bible says, again, the devil, he's tempted him. This is the third time he's tempted him. He took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. This verse has always kind of amazed me because notice who's taking Jesus higher. Who's taking him higher? Y'all see it right there? Who's taking him higher? The devil. All right? Be careful. When you got promotion and you coming up, you better make sure it's the Lord Jesus taking you up and not the enemy taking you up. But notice what it says here. He's taking them up and he's showing them the glory of this world. And he said to him, all these things I will give you. Notice the condition, though. If you fall down and worship me. Are you crazy, devil? You got to get out of here, man. And what makes you think that the enemy won't tempt you if he's tempting Jesus here? He's tempting Jesus. He's saying, I'm going to give you everything. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. But notice what Jesus said. He said to him, go, Satan, for it is written. For it is what? It is written. You got to stand on the word of God. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him. You shall worship the Lord God and serve him. He stood on the word. Then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and began to minister to him. So what makes you think that if the devil tempted Jesus, he won't tempt us? Every day, you got it, man. Every day you go, every time you lay down in bed, that flesh wants its way. That flesh say, go to sleep and get you some rest tonight. I'm going to be here waiting on you in the morning. You got to say, I'm going to be waiting too in the name of Jesus. He said, we're going to deny this thing, man, because God has so much more for us. but self gets in the way. Everything we do, it should be about God's glory. Others gain. Self don't want other people to gain, but if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you want to see others come up. And then you grow as a result of that. We got to be in the others' focused business, man. No, I won't. No, what? They got to get it. No, don't. That's not the love of God. The greatest commandment that Jesus said, he said, I want you to love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He said, all the laws of the prophets is tied up in those commands. Let me finish this up. Watch this now, because I'm talking about you got to have an attitude where you recognize that nothing in this world is worth me selling out my soul. Luke chapter 12. Watch this. Luke chapter 12. Watch this. This proves my point here. Luke 12, verse 13. Watch this. Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. See, it's all about that money, isn't it, man? You're going to get tied up. You want to break up a family that ain't got no order, man? Bring in some money. But he said to him, Man, watch what Jesus says. Who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you? Then he said to them, Beware, watch this, and be on guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable. Remember a parable, earthly principle, teaching us a heavenly lesson? The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. Notice the minds and eyes. And I will say to my soul, whose soul is it? That, according to him, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That sound good. Somebody say, but God. Oh, man, you got to keep reading these scriptures. Somebody can read that and say, man, what's wrong with that? I'm going to tell you what's wrong with it. But God said to him, you fool. This very night, your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I don't care how much you got in the bank account. What's your heavenly account looking like? God doesn't care about that. God is wondering, have you stored up treasures in heaven? That's when it's all said and done, when the lights are out, when you're done for the last time, will you have enough in your heavenly bank account to stand before an almighty God and hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few. Now let me make you ruler over many. That's the voice we want to hear. The rich young ruler, the young man, he asked the same question. Jesus says, what I got to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you know the commandments. He says, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And you know what he said? I didn't kept all them. See, he thought he was, according to himself, he thought he was doing good. And Jesus said, there's one command you ain't kept. Rich man, go and sell all you have and give it to the poor. Now watch this man's statement. Watch this statement here. I want to read this part because this is the sad commentary here. And when Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack, sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. He said, these things are in the way. You need to sell them and come and follow me because I'm more valuable than anything you ever own. But when he had heard these things, he became very sad because he was what? Let me ask you a question. What or who is in the way of you being sold out for Jesus? What is it that if Jesus asked you to give up today that you would have a problem giving it up because you're holding on to it so tightly that he can't work in and through you? As I close this out, hold your fist like this if you can. This is representative of something or someone that you're holding on to too tightly. And you feel as though that you can't live another day without this that you're holding on to. It's a worry, it's a concern about your past, about your health. It's a worry, it's a concern about something or something that somebody said or did to you even last week, and you're holding on to it. Notice that you can't do anything with a clenched fist. All you can do is try to fight like some of us want to do. Somebody said, I can make a good knuckle sandwich with this and go upside somebody's head. Well, that ain't what Jesus wants you to do. He wants you to deny self. Now open your hands. He wants you to let it go. No longer holding on to it. Today is a day where we make an exchange. God, I've been in the way. The biggest problem is, I've been the biggest problem. I've tried to control my own life. I tried to arrange things to work out the way that I want it to work out. But not today, Lord. Today I'm surrendering. I'm not talking about, although it's important. Watch this now. I need to say this, even as a pastor. I think church attendance is important. But it's not about how many times you come to church. Y'all know the devil come to church. He do. It's in the book of Revelation, man. He was sitting right there with the saints. I see people looking around. Where he at? Don't look around. We know he here, man, but Jesus is here too. That's all that matters, man. That's our focus. So, yeah. We worship the Lord Jesus, man. So let it go. Don't hold out on things God is asking.
Thank you for joining us today here on the New Generation Church Podcast. If you have questions regarding your faith in Jesus Christ, please visit our website at www.newgc.org/following-jesus. Be sure to watch on YouTube or subscribe to listen on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. For additional information on New Generation Church, please visit our website at www.newgc.org. If you would like to give to this ministry, please text the word GIVE to 251-278-2225, or you can mail your gift to 1350 Cody Road, North Mobile, Alabama, 36608. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you real good is our prayer.